Good afternoon, this is Katie and Kay, Carbondale Community Access Radio, Glenwood Springs, Carbondale, the Roaring Fork Valley, and beyond. And you're listening to Everything Under the Sun. I'm your host, Raleigh Burley, bringing you this little bit of news. Wilderness Workshop is organizing a rally in support of federal public land managers after thousands of workers at the U.S. Forest Service and the Department of the Interior have had their jobs cut over the past few weeks. The rally is today from 4 to 6, just started outside the White River National Forest Supervisor's Office at 9th and Grand in Glenwood Springs. Sign-making materials are available at the 3rd Street Center, but it might be a little late for that. And I'd like to introduce our guest today. We have the one and only Hamilton Pevick here, president of the Western Colorado Mycological Association. How you doing?
I'm very well. Thank you for having me, Raleigh. Happy to be here.
And joining us via the telephone, we have Greg Sanchez, who is a social studies teacher at Horizon High School in Thornton. How are you doing, Greg?
I'm doing well. Can you hear me okay?
I can
hear
you.
We can hear you. How's it going, Greg?
Okay, good. I'm good. Yeah, thanks for having me as well. I'm excited, for sure.
Well, and the big headline of today's show is the Agaricus julius is just about to become the state mushroom. All it needs to be is signed on by Governor Polis, but it is a bill that's now passed the Senate. And I understand from this article that we published today in the Soper Sun by Kate Phillips that this began in your classroom, Greg. Would you like to give us a little bit of that history?
Sure. So I initially started this, I would say it was the school year 21-22 school year. So it was in the fall of 21. And in my civics class, we have one of our units involved civic engagement. And so I initially reached out to my representative at that point because I wanted to model the students something that we could possibly do. And so starting from there, I had some trouble getting a response, but I kept at it, and eventually we got support from Representative Phillips this year, and as a result, she was willing to run this bill with us, and we went from there.
So that's House District 31 Representative Jackie Phillips. And how did the Western Colorado Mycological Association get involved with this, Hamilton?
Well, the project that Greg started kind of lost some momentum. I'm not sure exactly when, probably around COVID. Is that right, Greg?
Yeah.
And then a group of mycologists within Colorado revived the project, and at that point they invited me on as a representative of WICMA, and we just started working on it again and started getting the messaging together, and then we as a group debated on which mushroom we should put forward as the state mushroom. And to me it was particularly special because I've had an affinity for Agaricus julius for quite some time as a rare and precious and delicious edible mushroom. And it was actually the very first mushroom costume that I made was an Agaricus julius. And so I immediately nominated Agaricus julius, and it wasn't very difficult to convince the others because it ticked most of the boxes, all the boxes for as a nominee.
Okay. Could you tell us more about those boxes?
Sure. So we were looking at, you know, it had to have, you know, regional significance to Colorado. And in that way, Agaricus julius is specific to Colorado because its first incarnation was Agaricus augustus, which was identified and described in California. And then we just assumed for many years that it was the same one in Colorado, but in 2016... the DNA sequencing results came back to show that it was actually a different species and renamed and reclassified as Agaricus julius, the emperor formerly known as Prince. Mm-hmm. Whereas Agaricus Augustus is the prince.
Okay.
And then there was, so it was unique to Colorado. Greg, you're going to help me here on what the other boxes were. No other state had to have it
as their state
mushroom. So that eliminated, like, our, you know, Bilitis rubriceps, our Colorado porcini. It eliminated the chanterelle.
So another state has the Colorado porcini as their mushroom?
Yeah, Utah.
Oh, darn.
Yeah. I got eyes on you, Utah.
And if I could chip in with that.
Yeah, go for it.
Oh, sorry. So yeah, I think those were some of the big criteria that we did. And keep in mind, when we initially started this effort, before 2020, only two states had state mushrooms. And so as we were going through the process and trying to choose some candidates, California picked the chanterelle, and then Utah picked the boli. So that kind of eliminated some of those. Personally, I was going for the boli myself initially, but it wasn't an option after Utah.
So it's a recent movement that states are declaring state mushrooms.
Yeah.
Part of the
great five states since 2020.
Yeah, I mean it's indicative of the cultural shift that's happening in North America right now, and embracing mycology and mushrooms as sort of part of the conversation. That's one of the things that's super important about having a state mushroom, is that, you know, we're acknowledging that these organisms exist in an official facet, and that can open up the conversation to more more impactful things like conservation and education around this, you know, entire kingdom of fungi or kingdom of life on Earth. Some of the other boxes were that it had to have a story. Like the other criteria. Shoot, there was like six or seven criteria that it had to meet.
Yeah.
Did you have more to add to that, Mr. Sanchez?
Well, yeah, no, historically relevant.
That's right, historically relevant.
I'm looking up my notes, too. Originality, biologically relevant, taxonomically stable.
Oh, yeah, taxonomically stable.
Yeah.
That's really important, because these days mushrooms are changing all the time thanks to DNA sequencing. Mm-hmm. So what we thought was one species can become another next year once it gets tested. Okay. And we know now that our Agaricus julius is taxonomically stable. Like, it's not going to become another mushroom.
Because it was tested.
Yeah.
Cool. And you said these are rare and delicious. So edible, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the other qualities of the Agaricus julius, our soon-to-be state mushroom?
Well, it's got this, it's in this category of what we call almond agaricus, which have a sweet amaretto, some people describe as cherry aroma. And when you cook it up, that aroma is transferred into the flavor. And when you find them, you know, you might find one or two or three at a time in a little cluster. Whereas compared to something like a chanterelle or a porcini or a morel, you find large patches of.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're lucky enough to find one of these, you only get, you know, one meal out of it. One, you know, maybe a few bites only. And it has that, it's a nice, firm texture. It's in the same, genera as our white button mushroom, Agaricus bisporus, the one we find in the store, which is also known as portobello or crimini. And so on one hand, you have this very common, often described, boring mushroom, the one that everyone's familiar with from the grocery store. And yet Agaricus julius is like the eccentric cousin who you like can't wait to come over and visit.
Let me add to that. And familiarity was a big piece that the politicians were sold on. And so one of the things that I learned, you know, talking with representatives, they wanted something that looked like a mushroom. And okay. So some of our candidates, I think could have been, but they didn't look enough like a mushroom that people would recognize it.
The second,
so, like with agaricus, it's definitely something that you can associate with and you're more familiar with than the Hidnellum suaviolens or even the Sarcodon imbricatus. Those were good candidates, but they just weren't familiar.
That's right. Hidnellum suaviolus, is that right?
Suaviolens, yeah.
Suaviolens is a beautiful aromatic species, but very unique in its shape. It's not the classic cap and stem that we associate with, you know, the morphology of a mushroom. And same with Sarcodon imbricatus, the hawkswing mushroom, which is, you know, beautiful in so many ways, but again, just not conventional in the way that it looks.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
I'll just take you a little further. The Agaricus julius has a white stem with like fibrils on it, like kind of like a mildly scaly texture on the stem, and then it's got pink and gray gills when it's young, and then those gills turn chocolate brown in maturity, and then the cap is kind of this orange golden fibrillous texture that's a little bit. Sometimes it's almost squared or like has like rounded edges.
Mm-hmm.
And so in that way, it's pretty easy to ID once you know those macro morphological features. And then you get that aroma and you know, this is the one.
Cool. Well, I'd love to learn more also about how, Greg, you became familiar with WICMA. I understand that you've been a speaker for the monthly speaker series that our local mycological association puts on.
So I'm part of the Colorado Mycological Society, and it was last year, Hamilton, right, that you came out and spoke with us?
That's correct. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was familiar with Hamilton from his products, but also from. From Telluride Mushroom Festival, and mm-hmm. and he came and was one of our speakers, and then in our conversations we talked about some of the other interests that I've had and in mushrooms, and he invited me to speak for his group. And so I think that kind of shows a lot of the mushroom connections that you know we help each other out for sure.
One of the things that really excites me about this project is that it was kind of a pilot program for the primary mushroom clubs in Colorado to collaborate on
mm-hmm.
between the Colorado Mycological Society, the Pikes Peak Mycological Society, and the Western Colorado Mycological Association. We really rallied and organized in order to push this forward and make it happen. And I have a larger sort of dream or intention to coordinate more with the clubs in Colorado so that we can provide better resources and reach more people collectively in terms of like pooling our resources to bring mycologists in and create tours for people that are coming to Colorado. And I'm just thrilled with how well our little committee worked together. And like it gives me faith that we can do it again for another project, whatever that may be.
Mm. Yeah. Could you see working on more legislation? I know this was fairly straightforward, but with these different clubs pooling resources, is that something that you'd consider?
Yeah, I would consider it. Absolutely. I mean, one of the things that occurred to me about a year into running the Western Colorado Mycological Association is that actually we are a voting block.
Mm.
You know, we are a demographic, and at some point we will reach a certain size where that's really meaningful when it comes to things like legislation, and we'll have a voice at the table, particularly around ecological issues, conservation issues, that kind of thing. Now, getting everybody on the same page politically is actually insanely difficult, as we all know, to one degree or another. But I don't think I would actively leverage our collaboration politically unless we were already aligned. Like, I wouldn't go out there and try and turn the clubs into political factions or anything like that. Mm-hmm. No way.
What are your thoughts, Greg?
Well, one thing I do think, I mean, if nothing else, this opens the door for conversations about fungi and mushrooms. And, you know, I think even if we don't, as clubs, combine to push for legislation, it does provide some credibility to the topic. And it's more than just the psilocybin, the natural, the plant medicine laws. Mm-hmm. You know, this is real science that people are starting to understand. And so I think even if it's not our groups that are pushing it, it definitely could open the door for other people to say, hey, these are some topics I would like to introduce. You know, and we actually have our president is working on a flora, fauna, and fungi initiative. And so one of the senators even mentioned that specifically in our committee hearing, and he realized that, yeah, this is real, this is serious stuff. So yeah. I think it's gonna help encourage more conversations for sure.
And this is the most important thing right there, is that now flora, fauna, and fungi are part of the conversation. Like, for example, doing an environmental impact statement.
Mm.
And like, mm-hmm. now you should have looked at soil quality, soil health, microbiota, biodiversity, before moving decisions on development projects. Greg, I have a question for you. This just came through from one of our club members over here on my text message saying, you know, if the mushroom, if Agaricus julius is going to become the state mushroom, does that mean we can't pick it anymore because it's protected?
No. So,
thank God.
And that was one of the reservations I had, because, like, even talking about some of the other mushrooms, it's like, well, we don't want to make it so that it's illegal to gather. Right. And so, yeah, that would have had to been drafted specifically into the legislation to give it a protected status, but this one is not. I mean, it's just acknowledging it as a symbol, and I tell people, you're going to be lucky to find it. You know, we'll tell you where it grows, but you'll be lucky to find it.
For folks just tuning in, this is Everything Under the Sun, and we're speaking with Greg Sanchez, a social studies teacher at Horizon High School in Thornton, as well as Hamilton Pevick, our very own president of the Western Colorado Mycological Association, about the Agaricus julius, soon to be the state mushroom. And it's part of a wider revolution of mycology that's happening across the country, as you mentioned, Hamilton. And it's parts of the world have always honored the mushrooms, but it's sort of a new thing that science is even paying attention to mycology here in the West.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it was up until the 60s that, you know, Western universities considered mushrooms just weird plants. And, like, you know, there weren't mycological departments in universities. It was sort of housed under botany. Mm-hmm. And but, you know, we're coming around slowly as a culture, you know, Asians, you know, the Chinese, the Japanese, the Koreans, most of East Asia has a long history of rich mushroom culture, and the Russians, the Eastern Europeans all have, you know, deep, rich roots in mushroom foraging. But Americans are kind of babies, mm-hmm. you know, culturally when it comes to mycology. It's my opinion that, you know, we adopted the sort of fungophobia from the British, which are, you know, came up with, like, the expression, like, the toadstool, and the sort of fear associated with the ephemerality of mushrooms, like, here today, gone tomorrow. Like, how are you supposed to trust these slimy, stinky things? And just their general association with, like, rot, decay, death. Mm. You know, it's kind of, those are, like, pretty big mental hurdles for people who fear what they don't understand.
Is it true that a mushroom is closer to the animal kingdom than the plant kingdom?
Yes, it's true. We share over 50% of our DNA with fungi.
That's fascinating.
Yeah.
And what do you two think some of the wider implications of that cultural revolution are? Like, what lessons do we learn by paying more attention to mushrooms?
Greg, you want to chime in there? I mean, we could talk for 2 hours on this.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, things like, I guess, efforts like this, at least put it on the map, you know, and you know, if you listen to some of the, even the Senate floor conversations about mushrooms, they're still kind of poking fun a little bit here and there, which is fine, because mushrooms are okay with that. But
mushrooms have a sense of humor.
It's going to help. Yeah, it's going to help raise just people's awareness that, hey, this is important stuff. And you know, when you look at the governing body like the state of Colorado, when they choose a symbol, I mean, that's a pretty big deal, you know. And that shows that, hey, this is important, and these are things that maybe we should celebrate and acknowledge. And I think for us too, I mean, we have eight animal symbols, you know, four plant symbols, no fungi. And without fungi, you wouldn't have plants. You wouldn't have animals. And so I think it's really an essential piece of that kingdom, like Hamilton said, but that we need to include. And so this is really going to help at least open the door to more conversations, like I said. But, I mean, it's just a start.
Yeah, we wouldn't be here without fungi. There's a pretty good argument that mammals won the evolutionary race after the dinosaurs died off, beat out reptiles and amphibians because we partnered with fungi in our own bodies, in our digestive tract, and on our skin. And to this day, even the reptiles and amphibians are very susceptible to fungal infections.
Mm-hmm.
And mammals just aren't. You know, we've co-evolved with them. We wouldn't be able to digest our food without them. We wouldn't be able to preserve our food without them.
Mm.
You know, things like yeast. Can you imagine life without yeast? It's a terrible place.
Flat bread.
So much flat bread. Or not to mention no beer.
Mm-hmm.
Or any other delicious ferments.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I know there are theories about even the origin of life on Earth coming from some interstellar fungi.
Absolutely. Yeah. The panspermia theory is that, you know, life was populated by asteroids hitting the Earth and carrying spores on them, because we know that spores can survive the vacuum of space.
Wow.
And so they are like kind of essential original ingredients to that primordial ooze. And like, we know for a fact that plants evolved roots in order to interact with mycelium.
Wow.
And so, you know, when you start digging deeper into that the interconnectedness of life, you see that of the tree of life, fungi are really the trunk of the tree of life.
Boom. There's the quote.
If I could add something with that, I think and really what this sparks is curiosity. And that to me was really, present when students got involved with this effort.
Mm-hmm.
And they clearly admitted, hey, we don't know much about mushrooms, but they're kind of cool. And, you know, they are important to this environment. And so I think just sparking that interest and that curiosity is really important, especially with young people, because they're the ones who are going to carry it on and continue.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I'll just chime in one more thing here. Like, education is so critical to the evolution of our mushroom culture in the U.S. Like, even witnessing the senators on the Colorado State Senate floor, you know, having a good time talking about the bill. But what it illustrated perfectly was that sort of entry level of education around fungi.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. At the highest levels of the Colorado government, mm-hmm. they were still making jokes about Super Mario Brothers and like Smurfs. Yeah. And that just it's perfectly illustrates that, like, oh, yeah, we need to talk about this more.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, speaking of that education piece, and we just have a few more minutes left on today's show, the Eagle Mushroom Festival is still a ways off. But Hamilton, I understand you're a part of organizing that this year.
I am. I'm very excited to say that I have adopted the Eagle Mushroom Festival, for lack of a better expression. Mm-hmm. I'm now the executive director and the president of the board, and I have, you know, hopes and dreams for this little mushroom festival to come into its own and create a space for science and culture to really thrive around mycology. You know, taking a lot of notes from the Telluride Mushroom Festival as the world, as North America's largest mushroom festival, and like, you know, holding on to some of that spirit and bringing it over the mountains into Eagle. And it's August 8th, 9th, and 10th, 2025. So save the date, all you know, myco-curious, myco-serious folks out there. It's going to be super fun. We're going to have three lectures, expert-guided forays, workshops, and a little mini film fest, not to mention, like, some pretty fancy dinners and a live, like, a free concert on Friday night.
Cool.
So, yeah, I'm really excited about it.
Thanks, Hamilton. We look forward to seeing more information about that. Again, August 8th, 9th, and 10th. And we have just about a minute left, but Greg, do you have any closing thoughts for us?
Keep posted. I mean, we don't know when the governor is going to physically sign the bill. I did just see today that there was an amendment. They wanted to add the wording that it's the mushroom formerly known as Prince. So,
okay.
So I think there might be a little bit of a delay in there, but
okay.
but it's coming.
That's a good tagline.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah.
The emperor formerly known as Prince.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Hamilton Pevic and Greg Sanchez, for joining us on Everything Under the Sun, and congratulations on that legislative victory.
Well, thank you so much. Yeah, thanks so much, Greg.
Thank you so much.
It's a milestone
you
for our state.
Thank you, Hamilton.
All right.
Appreciate it. Thank you.